last 2 days to myself, and I can guarantee it was better all four of those times than it probably will be tonight. But I'm going to do my best, so as always, bear with me. The title of my message tonight is Preacher's Pal. It's Preacher's Pal. Now, that might seem odd. Maybe you don't know where I'm going with that. But a little later on in this, I'll let you know where I'm going with that. I will give you a hint, though. It's can anybody read that? Anybody have 2020? It's a little white badge. It has a picture of a church on it, and in the black letters it says Preacher's Pal under it. This is a Master Club badge that the kids can earn. That's where I got come up with the title. And it just seems like over the last, since the first Sunday pastor was out with Brother James preaching Sunday school, it just seems like it's kind of developed this thought in my mind. And even with Brian's lesson on Sunday morning, I got some info out of that one. And Brother James, and then Pastor Grant on Saturday night. I must admit, Saturday night, I wasn't sure exactly where he was going with that. But I liked where it ended up. It was a special service, and I don't know what prompted that, but I guess the Lord must have led him. But it was definitely an interesting service. But I thought it was a great service, and all that was encouraging. I think it was encouraging to me. Anyway, trying to see what time it is. I told Pastor, since we started Master Club, since they don't get out till 8:30, that I gave him more time to preach. But I guess that only applies to people who have kids in Master Clubs. The other stuff, you don't care. So I'll try to move along. If you want to turn in your Bibles, you can get there. It'll be a little while, but Acts 4, 31 through 37 is where we'll end up. Who comes to your mind when we talk about encouragement? Anybody? Talk to me tonight. Okay? If you turn to Acts, you'll probably figure it out. Anybody? Encouragement? Who was a great encourager in the Bible? Brian talked about this on Sunday a little bit, I think. Barnabas. One of my favorite messages that I can't even think of names tonight. Who was the evangelist just passed away? He's here all the time. I can't think of his name. Dr. Behrens preached a message. I dug it up. It was back in 2012. Preached a message on encouragement. It was an excellent message. It stuck with me all for 3 or 4 years now. It was a great message. I didn't dig that thing up. That was a good one. It'll be better than this one. But anyway, Sunday morning, but the one before that, Brother James started out his lesson. I don't know if anyone remembers, but he was talking about a preacher and a pastor, and there's a difference between those two. And he was talking about our pastor and what a blessing he was, and that we have a pastor here, and I really believe that, and I'm going to try to emphasize that. There's nothing wrong with a preacher. I think God calls preachers, such as evangelists. They mainly go out and they preach, and that's good. And pastors preach, but not all preachers pastor, if that makes sense to you. I've heard some very great preachers that were not good pastors, and we came out of a church, and that's what Brother James alluded to. There are churches that they don't have a pastor. They have a preacher. They go there. He goes there Sunday morning. Usually, a lot of times, it's just Sunday morning. He preaches, and that's it. Next Sunday morning, he comes in and preaches again. I came out of a church like that. When it came time for a business meeting, he sat in the back pew. May open in prayer. That was it. Had no say in the church at all. He was a preacher. He came in and he preached. I use that term lightly. But he wasn't a pastor. Pastor does more than just preach. A pastor is, the Bible talks about a pastor as being a shepherd of the flock. And give me some examples of what a shepherd does. Talk to me tonight, please. Leads his flock. That's one. I only have three, but maybe you come up with more. Guides. Protects them, yeah. Keeps them safe. Right. Right. I came up with one, if I can read what I wrote in here. He leads them, and he makes sure they have the right nutrition, right? There's a lot of, and I was thinking of just on the way up tonight, a lot of junk food out there these days. A lot of so-called pastors and preachers are giving out. And I was thinking, I'm on a diet, so I hate talking about food. But that junk food looks good, doesn't it? Man, when I come by Slopeside in the morning, I want to stop, but I don't. It looks good, it tastes good, it smells good, but it's usually not good. But a shepherd leads and guides and takes care of his sheep. And I put one down here, a real characteristic of a good pastor, I think, is they're willing to do whatever it takes. Pastor, he was in New Zealand. Well, he's in New Zealand, right? My father-in-law had a hip replacement this morning, and he told Jackie, he said, I'm so sorry I'm not there. If he would have been here, he would have been at the hospital at 5 o'clock this morning. I have no doubt about that. And I've seen him. I was trying to think. I think it was when Mrs. Hartman passed away. I think it was during the Men's Mountain Getaway. And, you know, when those types of things happen, he doesn't say, well, I'm on the getaway, I can't be there. You know, he drops everything and ends there. I think a good pastor is willing to set aside any plans, basically die to self. But anyways, when Pastor asked me to fill in a while ago, I began to pray about it and think about what I wanted to talk about. And there'd been a message. I listened to a lot of the messages from the SWORD conference this year. I don't know if you haven't listened to some of those, you ought to get them. They were really good. Norris Belcher, who's going to do our wild game dinner, preached a great message on about being an empty vessel. He used the story of the empty water pots. You have to empty yourself. Trying to think of the one guy, he preached a message on hell that was just absolutely, it was wonderful. You know, and I was thinking of this week during, I think, one of Pastor Grant's messages. I know I'm getting off topic, but, you know, he was asking why do we run buses, and why do we go out on visitation, and why do we get our hearts broke over these kids, and why do we do what we do? And it's because there's a hell. You know, if there wasn't a hell, he preached a wonderful message. Anyway, there was another guy. His name's George Riddell. Has anyone ever heard George Riddell preach before? All right. That was the first time I think I'd ever heard him preach. But a lot of these messages I stuck on my phone right away, and I've listened to him quite a few times. He preached a message. He called it, entitled it, Cut Down the Tree. It's about as unique as Preacher's Pal, I think. Cut Down the Tree. I'm not a big history buff, but he was talking. Let me see if I can remember. If anyone knows history, General Robert E. Lee. They said that he was at a home of a prominent person in the day, and it was right after the war, and he was there, and she took him out by this huge tree, and she said, she was talking to General, and she says, "Look at this tree." She said, "It's ruined. It's just been riddled with gunfire and artillery fire. It's just totally destroyed." And they, according to the story, they say that he just stood there for a little while and looked at her, and he said, "Madam, cut down the tree and forget it." And that was his advice. Anyway, he was talking to pastors in that message. You ever heard that story? Yeah, I don't know if I got it right. I probably might not have got it totally right, but that's the gist. He was talking to pastors at the SWORD conference, not only pastors, but mostly people in leadership positions in the churches, whether they're on staff or not. And he was preaching, talking to them about forgiving. It's actually talking about bitterness and how if a pastor especially will allow bitterness to take root in their lives, that it often will destroy a pastor. And he's encouraging them along the lines of what causes that in the church, and how to deal with that. The big thing, the main way was to forgive and forget. I don't have so much of a trouble forgiving. I have trouble forgetting so often. It's difficult for me, and I guess it depends on the severity of it. And he had a really interesting quote in there. I don't even know if I'd probably butcher it. Something to the effect of, we'll forgive people. We just don't want the people we forgive to forget that we forgave them. if that makes sense. That was kind of interesting. And that's true. That's true. But I'm getting off topic again. But he talked about bitterness and was encouraging pastors along that line. I'm not going to preach his message. My purpose tonight is to encourage us, mainly to encourage our pastor. And with that comes, everyone. We want to encourage each other. But to be an encouragement to our pastor. And lest I forget to say it, I'll try to say it again. Encouraging someone has to go beyond just thinking it. And this kind of went really well with Sunday night. You have to, it doesn't do any good whether you appreciate your pastor or someone or not if you don't tell them. You know, we have to tell them. Hopefully I'll say it again. So, again, what I want to talk about is encouraging our pastor. And when I say pastor, so often we forget the wives, right, Sandy? Yeah, we do. But pastor's wife, because she's a big part. And we have an assistant pastor and his wife, who, as far as I know, are in the process of having their first child tonight. I think he shut his phone off because I've heard nothing since 12:55 today. But for those of you who don't know, her water broke around 12 o'clock. So I guess, and I haven't heard anything since. And I texted him during handshake time and haven't heard anything back. So, but again, what caught my attention in this message was he gave some statistics at the beginning of the message and that deal with pastors. Now, whether all these are, I don't know how accurate all these are. I hope aren't true of our pastor and pastors, but the reality is that there's a good chance that they are. Does anyone here remember the name Greg Baker? Pastor always asks if you remember names. Anybody remember the name Greg Baker? Okay. For those of you who don't remember Greg Baker, he was a pastor up north. I can't remember where, Bible College, and in Canada. And he's a wonderful, wonderful pastor. I have some of his messages on CD. He was here for, if I'm not mistaken, the Sword Conference. I assume, I'm not positive about that. And it wasn't a couple months later that he committed suicide. I say that because we have no idea sometimes. People are very good at hiding what's going on in their lives, aren't they? Are we good at that? I mean, we're good at hiding what's going on in our lives. And I have no idea what caused that. May not be anything I talk about here tonight. The fact is we don't know what caused that. But I'm saying that we don't know. We don't have any clue where someone is maybe at their breaking point. We just don't know. Let me read these statistics. And then I'm going to tell you which ones I know are true about our pastor and which ones I don't know are true about our pastor. All right. 90% of pastors report working between 55 and 75 hours per week. 80% of pastors believe that the ministry has negatively affected their families. 90% of pastors feel they are inadequately trained to meet the ministry demands. 80% feel unqualified and discouraged. 90% say that the ministry is entirely different than they thought it would be when they entered the ministry. 50% feel unable to meet the demands of the job. 70% constantly fight depression. 70% say they have a lower self-image now than when they entered the ministry. This one caught my attention, more so than the others. 70% say they do not have someone they consider a close friend. 40% report a serious conflict with a church member at least once a month. 50%, this one also caught my attention. 50% of pastors feel so discouraged that they would leave the ministry but have no other way to make a living. 70% of pastors feel grossly underpaid. 50% of pastors starting will not last 5 years. And only 1 in 10 pastors will retire as a pastor. Now, again, I don't know how accurate those statistics are. So let's go back through them. I'll tell you what I know and what I don't know. Pastor probably works more than 75 hours a week, would be my guess. I don't know if it's negatively affected his family. I don't know that. I don't think he's inadequately trained, but he may feel that. I don't know. I don't know if he feels unqualified and discouraged, but I would say without a doubt that I've thought about this before. Being a pastor has to be very discouraging a lot of the time. And just think about that and why it would be. Mostly because, I'll talk about that in a minute, because of me and us. Anyway, So I don't know. I would say definitely. Is it different than when he entered the ministry than he thought it would be? I have no idea. Does he feel unable to meet the job commands? I don't know. Does he constantly fight depression? I don't know. I wouldn't say constantly, but I would say probably some, to some extent. Does he have a lower self-image now? I have no idea. Does he have someone he considers a close friend? I hope so, but I don't know. Does he have serious conflicts with church members? I'm sure. I don't know if it's serious and once a month or not, but all pastors deal with that, obviously. Does he feel so discouraged that he would leave the ministry if he could? I don't think so, but I don't know. Does he feel grossly underpaid? Not unless he's lying to the deacons and trustees. He's been here more than 5 years. I can say that. He's been a pastor more than 5 years. And will he retire as a pastor? I have no idea. No idea. But there's a lot of unknowns there, you know, and that's what I'm saying. You know, that just goes to, we have no idea sometimes what's going on. That one about the close personal, or close friend, that kind of hit me, you know. Pastor should be my close friend. He should consider me a close friend. But I don't know. I don't know. All right, one page down. It's 3 pages, by the way. Actually, 2.5. Actually, the last page is really easy, so we're doing good. So why is this? Someone give me some examples of why maybe some of these statistics would be. I already gave you one of them a little minute ago, but anybody give me an idea of why pastors might struggle with these in these areas? Right. I put the flock. For the purpose of being a shepherd, I put the flock. He has to deal with us, right? The biggest one I could come up with, I can only come up with two. I'm sure there's lots of reasons. In the message that Pastor Riddell preached, he gave a lot of different scenarios that could cause those types of things. And I will say right off the bat, everyone deals with, you know, a certain extent of these things just in our daily lives and in our daily jobs and those types of things, which comes to encouraging each other. But I don't want to talk too much about that tonight. Satan. I thought of Satan. Me and a guy at work was talking this week about a church down the road that's growing by leaps and bounds. And anyway, I made a comment to him that I don't, and Pastor says this very often, I don't think people don't understand who God is and what God really is. They have no concept of that. I think Pastor does a pretty good job of explaining to us how holy God really is, even though I still think I don't really fully understand it. And I think we underestimate the power of Satan very often, too. But anyone preaching and teaching the word faithfully week after week, you have to assume that the devil is on him constantly. I would think that, just like he's on our buses and, you know, our radio ministry and anything that he's going to fight it. So I can't help but think that has to be a huge factor in the reasons there. All right, Acts 4, 31 through 37. Everyone there? I want to talk a little bit about Barnabas. 4:30. Where did I say? Acts 4, 31 through 37. All right, so what's going on in this chapter? It's the first persecution is what my chapter is labeled in the Bible. The apostles and the people are being persecuted. 4:31 through 37. All right. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the pieces of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Let's pray, and we'll keep going. Father, thank you for a beautiful day, Lord, that you gave to us. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. And Lord, we do ask that you bless our pastor and keep him safe. And Miss Kathy, is there a way, Lord? And we just ask you to use him in a great way down there, Lord. And we just ask your blessing upon this message tonight, Lord. And I pray that it might be a help and a blessing to those that are here, Lord, that we can glean something from it. And we just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, I would assume that most people have heard Barnabas referred to as an encourager. The apostles must have thought so because they changed his name to the son of consolation. He was a great encourager. We get that from verse 36. One thing we know for sure from verse 37 is that he was charitable and he was very generous with what he had. We see there that he sold. It doesn't say that he sold everything. He sold everything he had, but it says having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Maybe that's all he had. I don't know, but it definitely was something that was dear to him. And this goes to. Sorry, I messed up in my notes. That Barnabas knew where his inheritance was. It wasn't in that land. It was in heaven and in the work of the Lord. And he gave it freely. So he was generous, charitable. He was an encouragement to those around him. I need to make my writing bigger or get glasses, one of the two. Or maybe I need to color code it. Pastor Grant. but he was cheerful. He's a cheerful guy, I would say. We don't have time to really look at all this, these different things. But he was active in comforting and encouraging the Lord's people. Was Paul Barnabas's pastor? For my purpose of my sermon, let's say he was. Let's say that he was. Let's flip over to Acts 9. We see Barnabas again here. Acts 9:27. We haven't even talked about Paul yet, have we? Just Barnabas. Acts 9, verse 27. Let's go back to 20, or let's start there in 26. This is the conversion of Saul, chapter 9. And we get to verse 26, and Paul's visiting Jerusalem here. It says, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and declared unto him how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Do you think Barnabas was an encouragement to Paul here? Do you think that was an encouragement to him? The first thing I thought of was discipleship in the church. A new convert comes in, and maybe they're a little rough around the edges. We usually are when we get saved, for the most part. I know I was a little bit. We take a new convert and they come in and we, what do? We take them, we disciple them, we teach them, try to help them to grow and learn. And that's what Barnabas is doing here with Paul. I don't know if you'd heard about Paul, what we know about Paul, would you be a little worried if he was coming to town? You think maybe he had some ulterior motives? You think maybe he was a good actor? putting on a big show, pretending he got saved and was coming, and really he'd get a big crowd together, wouldn't he? He could round up a whole bunch of them at once. I'd be a little worried about him coming to town. But Barnabas, what's Barnabas do? He takes Saul. Forgive me for saying Paul, even though my caption there says Paul visits Jerusalem, and it says and when Saul. But he takes him and he encourages him and helps him along and tells the apostles, look, this guy's he's for real, he's legit. And that played, I think, a huge part in Paul's life. We talk about the prison ministry and people in prison, and sometimes we don't think that their lives can be changed the way they drastically are so often. And I was thinking about this, and I do this a lot, and maybe it's the story of getting the mote out of my eye before I'm, able to do it to someone else. But we always look down on people so much for certain things. I'll give you a for instance. Let's just say drunk driving. When I look in the paper now, and I see maybe it's someone I went to school with, or maybe it's someone I don't have a clue who they are. And I see they were caught for drunk driving, and I say, man, that's terrible, and I'm all over it, and maybe they were in an accident, maybe they killed a small child or something, and we think that's terrible. And then I was thinking this week, when I was back in high school, I was that guy out driving around. I was that same guy. The only difference was by the grace of God, I never hit anybody. I never wrecked. I never got stopped, although there was multiple opportunities that could have happened to me. And I look at them and I hope I'm making sense here, how bad. And it is bad. It is bad. Don't get me wrong. But I was that person. It's like the story of who confronted David with his sin. Same thing, who confronted David with his Nathan? Thank you, Nathan. But it's the same thing, people, God has amazing power to change lives, and that's another sermon, I guess. Did Paul and Barnabas have troubles? They got along all the time, didn't they? Nope. They had their troubles, right? They had a big problem with some guy named John Mark, and they split over that. They had their problems. But they were together for 14 years, if my checking here is correct. 14 years that they were, together. And I can't help but wonder what Paul's life would have been like had it not been for Barnabas. Who knows? Who knows what it would have been like? But I do know that he was a great help and a great encouragement. Brian helped me out on Sunday with some other people that helped Paul. I wrote them down. One, anybody remember who helped? I'll quiz them. Anybody remember? See, I got the answers because it's kind of cheating. But anybody remember who helped Paul? Who helped Paul other than Barnabas?
Epaphroditus.
Okay. There was two tent makers, a woman first and then a man. Priscilla and Aquila. Timothy, I wrote him down the back of some paper somewhere on Sunday. I was studying my message while Brian was teaching. No, not really. Barnabas, Timothy, Silas, Epaphroditus, all these people helped Paul. And what would his life been like if it wasn't for God's people helping and encouraging him? Who knows? I don't know. Maybe he would have fell into one of these categories. One of these statistics. I don't know. He was a pretty strong guy, but who knows? Who knows? So, where did I come up with the preacher pal from for my message? This is where it ties in. This is the preacher pal badge. Obviously, I'm big on badges now. These are really nice badges, by the way. When I was a kid, one of my most precious things, I'm weird, when I took hunter safety, they gave you a little, I think they still get a little badge about that big, your hunter safety badge. That thing was, I just love that badge. I don't know why. But I just like badges. These are really cool badges. The kids get to earn, there's hundreds of badges that the kids can earn downstairs. One of them is the Preacher Pal badge. In the first grade, the kids get the opportunity to earn that badge. And I think it's a really important badge for kids. I'd like to challenge, if I forget to say this later, I'd like to challenge us to try to earn the Preacher Pal badge. Maybe not in the same things that they're doing to earn it, because I don't know if you want to make a video saying what you like about the pastor or not. You might enjoy it. I don't know. But anyway, I was talking to Dad tonight. Dad, he always wants to know what I'm going to talk about, and all my verses and stuff. And I don't know if he thinks I have a great memory or what. He's like, what are your verses? I was like, I don't know, Dad. I can't remember that. What's your outline? I said, it's on paper. I don't know. So I brought it up with me tonight, and I was sitting there talking to him, and I said, Dad, I said, let me ask you. I said, when I was a kid, my pastor was, well, for here was Pastor John, but I remember very little of Pastor John. But my pastor was my Uncle Dana. And even at that age, even him being my uncle and my pastor at the same time, and I was young, I know, but I felt like I didn't really have access to the pastor. I don't know why. Maybe it was because he was close. We were related. But I don't know if young kids look at a pastor as someone up there, and they're kind of, you know, they're kind of off limits to the kids. Anybody else? Dad said, yeah, I can kind of see that. And to me, when I was young, I didn't feel like I had access to the pastor. And I don't know if kids feel that way. I will say that a good qualification of a pastor would be that the kids in the church don't feel that way about their pastor. And I don't think they do here. But why was I saying that? Anyway. Anyway, the Preacher Pal badge. I'll just get back on topic. They earn the badge. Here's how they earn the badge. They come to club, obviously. That doesn't help them earn the badge, but they have to be there. They're faithful to church. So not only do they have to come to club, they have to come to church. They get to write the pastor a note. They are going to make a video or short story or a video of short stories and memories of the pastor. So obviously the pastor has to be involved in the kids' lives a little bit for them to be able to do this. They memorize scripture that they quote to the pastor. They write things they like about the pastor. I told Austin this the other day, he just started laughing. I don't know what that means. But write things they like about the pastor, and there's other things that they do, and they can earn the Preacher Pal badge. Not only is this good for the kids, but I think Ab Thomas, if anyone knows who Ab Thomas is, he's the one that started all of this, master clubs and everything. I think he probably had a good idea that not only would it help the kids, but it would probably help the pastor too, and be an encouragement to the pastor. And some, this is something else that I was thinking of. Sometimes, this is me, maybe I'm just weird, but sometimes I think we forget how special our pastor is. And maybe you're in a church. Of course, you're not. You're in this church. But maybe you're in a church, or you understand what I'm talking about when you don't have a pastor like that. Maybe he is just a preacher. But we forget how special our pastor is and how hard they work and all of that. A couple things that I thought of. You know, what happens when you get a new car? I'm hearing a pastor to a car now. What happens when you get a new car? Show it off. I washed my truck a lot when it was new. I took care of it, kept it clean, yelled at the kids for getting on the seats. Still yell at the kids. Yell at them for stuffing their candy wrappers in a hole under the seats. You know, putting chocolate bars in between the seats. This has happened recently. Stuff like that. So, but you take care of it. You wash it. What about a new house? Did you get a new house? Man, when I moved into my house, that thing was awesome. Now it's just a house, you know. You get kind of tired of it. It just becomes common, kind of. What about when we get married? This isn't a family conference. Does it ever get old a little bit, maybe? I don't know. Well, my wife's not in here. But it does, right? That's why we have family conferences, right? I got to keep where I'm at here. I'm sorry. But things get old. And, you know, when I came to church here for the first time, I was here like probably 10 times before I even heard Pastor preach. I just came up to sword conferences and revivals and stuff like that. And the first time I got to hear Pastor preach, I was like, wow, this is great. You know, it's a great church. Everything, you know, we do all this great stuff. We have track month, and we go on mission trips and start naming off all the stuff. I could name them off before, but I can't. I'm not there now. You know, we go out on visitation. I came, the biggest reason we left the church we were at was because there was nothing there. There was no evangelism whatsoever. We tried to start a visitation program, and it wasn't there. It wasn't going to work. But, you know, all this stuff is new and exciting, and, you know, you're on board with everything. And then slowly after you guys came here in 6. We came here just after you guys. 12, 13, 14, 15, 8 or 9 years, stuff starts to get old. Nothing's changed. Pastor hasn't changed. He's still preaching the same stuff he is preaching. Probably getting better at it. We're still doing the same things. Probably they're getting better the way we do them and everything. But it's not the pastor that's changing. You know, I'm changing. And we tend to go that way. And then what do we start doing? Instead of looking at the positive things that go on in the church, we start to pull out all the negative stuff, right? Well, he did this and that, and you know, and it happens. It just happens. And I think all this, you know, all this are some of the reasons for those statistics. That's why, you know, the things that have to be dealt with. And I can't take time tonight to talk about how to deal with all those things. But, you know, those are a bunch of messages there. I came up with about 20 different messages from doing this one tonight that I can do from now on. But we start to look at the negatives, and I'm going to keep moving. And as I said, this can't be said of all pastors, but I think our pastor's for real. I really do. I've come to that conclusion that he's not fake. He's not putting this on. I think it's real. I'm pretty sure of that. And this goes, I mentioned it earlier, but people in leadership positions, pastors and people in leadership positions in a church can be very discouraged, lonely, depressed, and often nobody knows about that kind of stuff. And, you know, we see that in these statistics, if they are as accurate as they are, as they say they are. I just want to say, we need to encourage our pastor, I think. We really need to encourage him and his wife. And not only our pastor, but what happened Sunday night, I think, was encouraging to me personally. And I think for everyone that was here, it would have been. And those are the kind of things that we need to do. Encourage each other, do things for each other. Everyone likes to be encouraged. I don't care who. If you don't, there's something wrong with you. I made a mistake one time. I was trying to be encouraging to the pastor. I don't know if anyone remembers. He's been here 21 years. I think it was 19 years. He was here 19 years. And I thought, well, this is great. Brian Fox is in here. It's friend day. Let's have testimonies about pastor tonight. Well, I should have used the word popcorn testimonies as pastor did. If anyone remembers that, it went on and on and on and on and on and on. And a pastor made the comment. He said, don't get me wrong. He said, I like everything you said, but I don't like it. And, you know, because, you know, that's difficult to sit there and you know, if you're humble. And, but, you know, those, we just need to encourage, be an encouragement. Even though he makes fun of the deacons and the ushers, and the sound guys a lot. I had to write that in there. We still need to make sure we encourage him, make sure we tell him that we love him and appreciate him and are thankful for him, and don't let it get old. Like, I know it's got old to me somewhat, and it takes work. All right, I'm almost done. The only thing I want to do now is I want you guys to come up with some ideas. I have a list. If you don't get them, I'll tell you what mine are. Some ways that we can be an encouragement to our pastor. Anybody, shout them out. What are some ways we can be an encouragement? Mom and Dad got almost all of them tonight. Yes? Right. That's number one. Well, actually, I wrote in number one, so that was my first one, was be in church. That's an encouragement. Okay. If you want to get out of here, give me some answers. What? Ah, two messages. Got it. Little Girdum should arrive between 12 and 3 a.m. Okay. Little Girdum. Between 12 and... Don't text in church. That's a good one. I almost told the teachers and workers the other day, if you have a problem downstairs, text me. And you're not in church. I'm in church, so it's all right to text me. All right, no texting in church. I didn't have that one. No, that's a good one. Turn your cell phone off. That'd be a good one, too. I didn't have that one either. All right. Yeah. Stu reminds me of that every day. I'm here. Yeah. Yeah, get them out. Keep them out. All right. There's a big one, maybe the biggest one, I think, that we can do. Maybe not here, but pray. Who said pray? Yes, pray for our pastor. Not only pray for him, but tell him you're praying for him. Anyone else? There's... Yeah. How about outside of the church? What can we do? Okay. Where could we take him? All right, I'll just give you my list. I had all night. I had a week, 2 weeks to think about this. You guys only have 5 seconds. What do I? Number one, I wrote this in. If we have a problem with the pastor or with something in the church, deal with it right away. In other words, mainly because I probably need to do this on occasion. I put, don't allow it to make us bitter, because the same thing happens to us. We said that earlier. If something's going on and we're getting bitter about it, it's just going to infect everyone else, and it's going to infect him ultimately. But deal with it. You know, go talk to him about it. You know, get things. Handle things before it becomes a big issue. I don't know. I thought of that. Be in church. Pray for our pastor. I put invite over for dinner. He's on a diet too, so I don't know. But you still invite him over for dinner. Take out to eat. Could do that. Write a note of encouragement. I think that was there. Just be aware of birthdays, anniversaries, stuff like that. Do something special for Pastor Appreciation Month. Us deacons and trustees messed that one up last year. That's why I have it on my list. That's October, by the way. October is Pastor Appreciation Month. This one I have to work on. Dad got this one. Say amen. I say a lot of pastors something, I'll say amen. And back to you. Yeah, that's right. And the only person here, it's Austin, if he's listening. Pastors, he shouldn't have to fish for amens. He really should. But I'm uncomfortable with that. I don't know. I always like, maybe because my dad, did Dad say amen much in church when we were little? I don't remember him saying it. Maybe it's because he didn't. I don't know. But he told me to say amen. But that's that'd be an encouragement, I think. It encourages me when I'm up here, even if you fake it. I'm just saying, I don't care. Sing loud. Not only will that encourage the pastor, that'll encourage the song leader if you sing loud. These two are kind of funny, but I thought of them. So I put sit up front and park in the back would be two. Sit up front, park in the back. That's it. There's more messages. Maybe he's here already. Brother James Becker in the center room, he mentioned something. When we started Master Clubs, he said, I don't expect my kids to do anything that I'm not willing to do myself. In other words, he was saying, if the kids have to earn a badge, I'm going to earn it with them. If they have to read the book of Proverbs this month, I'm going to read it with them. I don't know if he's doing it or not, but awesome. But he made that comment. You know, if he's doing that, he's going to do it with them. And I want to encourage you to try to earn the Preacher Pal badge. Encourage our pastors. Encourage each other. That's a big thing. We could all use some encouragement from time to time. Things will be. Now, I want to say I think our church is probably well beyond above average in these areas. I really do. And from what other pastors and evangelists coming in tell us, unless they're lying, you know, I don't know. I really think, and I don't see our pastor in these statistics. At least I don't want to see him in these statistics. But I know that if we are an encouragement, that it might help in some of those areas. I'm done. Let's pray. Catherine, she could.